and welcome to RTE Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Ní Coirmic. Earlier this year, The Rolling Wave, with support from the Irish Traditional Music Archive, commissioned 10 musicians to write a piece of music for a project we called Fuisif, which means solace or respite. Once the music was written and recorded, I spoke to all 10 composers, and over the next few episodes of the podcast, we're going to hear some of the stories behind these tunes. Starting tonight with the great Charlie Lennon. Charlie, you've been writing tunes for a long time. You have published collections, and many of your tunes are, you know, well established now as part of the traditional music repertoire. So when did you first start writing tunes, or when was the first impetus to sort of give it a go?
Well, I was always curious about tunes, and of course, long ago we didn't know where tunes came from. We didn't even ask the question. I suppose I was curious because most of the tunes we played, they were just came from, you know, from nowhere. But my father was strict on keeping the tune as is, because he felt he felt that he was the custodian of the music, insofar as this is the setting that we play in this area of the country, and this is the set of tunes that we normally have. And if we change them, then the original will be lost, because there was no recording going on. And nobody was writing them down. So he saw it from that angle. I was more full of curiosity. And so I began to explore back in the 60s. And I tried a couple of reels, really. And then I was very put about let other people hear them. So I had no idea whether they were good, bad or indifferent. But I did let some go, and I saw there was some interest, but I didn't do any more until I was abroad then for the 60s. And when we came back to Ireland, it was the 70s. That was very, very vibrant, and great buzz in Dublin. And that's when I began to think about writing again. And so I chanced my arm at the end of the 70s to put out something, or put on the radio or something, and I got a good response. So that encouraged me and led to a lot of writing in the 80s. I was very busy in the evening times writing music. But I would be very careful about letting them go until I felt that they were worthy of release and that people might enjoy them.
And in contrast to your father's view then of preserving the versions, have you had experiences, say, where you send your tune out and then you hear it back at you years later? What's that like?
Well, it can be great, and it can be not so good if the reproduction varies much from the main one. And indeed, that was the reason why I accepted the invitation to write down the setting that I had, so that at least that would be preserved. And that's why I filled a book of tunes. Mm. And I felt, well, at least they can refer to those if they're thinking about it.
And of course, you know, with traditional tunes, it can be the case that your tune might be played by somebody who wouldn't know it was your tune at all.
That's right. That happens a lot of times, because they learned it from somebody else and they didn't have a name on it. And they'll have to put a name on it maybe at that stage, especially if they're going to record it. So it gets watered out.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you want the tunes being played, and on the other hand, it's a pity to lose the connection to the person who's written it.
That's true, yeah.
You play the piano, you've studied classical music, and so all those influences, or indeed other types of music like jazz, how do they impact on your composition of your traditional tunes?
Well, on piano, Which I played a lot in back in the 60s and made a living of in the summertime. They're a completely different way of looking at things. And funnily enough, I can't create music for fiddle on the piano because you have certain patterns in your head on the piano which you tend to follow, chord sequences and so on. Whereas on the fiddle, you're kind of lost in the middle of nowhere and you just let go and things come up that are fresh and new and different. And oftentimes I will compose on the fiddle and it's a tune I'm happy with, but it takes me some time to figure out what kind of harmony should go with this, or should there be harmony with it, or where is it going, you know. And they could be in a mode that wouldn't be that common. So if the mind works differently and I get inspired with the type of music that would come through the piano, and that's fine. It wouldn't be a trad tune, that's all I'm saying. Mm. Whereas on a fiddle, it would generally be a trad tune that you come up with.
And writing a trad tune, like, what's the most sort of challenging aspect of writing a trad tune, a tune you presumably would like to hear being played by, you know, traditional musicians in time? So what does that tune need? What does a great tune need?
Well, it needs an attraction that you want to play it again and again, or you want to think, well, it's the first thing I'll try when I pick the fiddle up, and that it runs, particularly on the instrument you're on, that it runs, that it's kind of made for that instrument, and also that it's not another tune that's in just change the key and off you go. It has to be an original. Mm. But of course, if you're treading a new path, there's an awful lot of other paths there that you'll kind of fall into, you know. So that's a problem, all right, and you try and stay away from runs and other tunes that you might feel would be the next step along. So it's quite challenging, that particular element of it.
It's funny that, because, you know, you have experience of writing large scale works, you know, where there's big ensembles of musicians involved and orchestras and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's a totally different challenge, isn't it, to writing a tune for the individual instrument?
Yeah.
How would you describe that difference?
Well, you have to think of the orchestra if that's what you're going to write, and who does what where, you know, and at the same time, you may want to put a pipes with it or a fiddle or whatever. And so the challenge is to find something that satisfies both. Mm. And you're never going to be asking an orchestra to play in the traditional mode that a trad musician would play in, because that's against them. They're not trained that way. But you can get pieces where they have a role and the trad man has a role, and so I usually make sure that the trad person is playing trad, if you want that, and the orchestra is doing their most in terms of what they do best. Mm. So you're looking for a match between those two different features, and that can be exciting. Mm. And when it works, it really is very exciting.
Mm.
It takes time and it takes thought, but oftentimes you just let the mind go, you know, and the subconscious will sort things out for you.
And how much of your composition is done by ear, and how much of it is done on paper, say, or, you know, using
nearly all trad players just want to hear it on whatever is the latest in the terms of technology. And so they pick it up by ear. And even though they might read music, like my daughter, who's trained classical musician on the fiddle, she wouldn't want to learn one of my trad tunes by notation. She wants to hear it because there's a lot of stuff that's not in, that you can't actually write in the current way of writing music. That is in the trad music, you know.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Charlie, these tunes were commissioned, the 10 pieces that we commissioned, they were commissioned to reflect the period of the recent lockdown. And
yes.
You and your family went through the loss of your brother Ben during that time, Ben
That's
Lennon.
Correct, yes.
Which of course meant that you know, you had one of the saddest experiences because you couldn't have a normal funeral, or, you know.
That's right.
What was that experience of that that lockdown like?
It was a new experience that was not very pleasant. Ben was living on his own and doing well and fully active. And I had been with him some weeks beforehand, and he was driving me around to sessions and looking after me and all that. So he was completely okay. And he was up until the day before he died. And so his son Brian rang me on the Sunday, said that he didn't feel well, and that he was trying to get him into hospital. So they got him into hospital on Monday morning, and Brian was to keep me up to date as to what was wrong with him. They were going to do tests, and in the meantime, he just slipped away with no fuss or nothing. But you know, immediately think, oh, I must get up there, and when is the funeral, and you know, what should we do now? And loads of things in your head. And then you realise, wait a minute now, I can't travel. Mm. I can't mix with other people. It was a new thought. The brain had to deal with something that it had no experience of, that it had no experience of before. So I couldn't grieve. I didn't know what to do, actually. I couldn't grieve. I really wanted to talk to the sons, you know.
Mm.
So I just sat there. I couldn't really take it all in. And then when the following day, I wanted to know about the funeral and all that arrangement, I discovered that there was no funeral, that three people would be allowed to go to the hospital and then to bring the remains to the graveyard. And that was it. And they had to go in three different cars. And we couldn't talk to the local people, which we stayed close to always. And so they went, the three cars from Sligo General Hospital down to where we were born in Kittilaher, and then out to Rusted where he was going to be buried. And it was very, very strange for them. Now, when we got within a mile of Kittilaher, people were on the road standing to salute us and to, well, I wasn't there, but to honour Ben, and the same in the village and at the graveside. But there was just the three of them, and there was Father Seamus Quinn, who helped out and gave by the graveside and gave a good oration to send him off. And he and Brian played as the coffin was being put down in the grave, and that was it. And they all had to disappear and go back home. So I haven't grieved yet, so we're hoping that we'll have a proper send-off, that we'll have a mass, and that we'll have everybody together, and that we'll play music. And likewise, all his friends and all his fans are very, very disappointed that they didn't have the chance to say goodbye to him, you know.
Well, my sympathies are with you on his loss and the loss of Ben, but also on that experience, which I think has been very, very difficult for people during this time.
Yeah, no, he didn't die from COVID-19.
No, I know, yeah.
It happened just at that time.
Yeah.
that there was a shutdown.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a completely new and different experience, and we're so very much in a particular way of grieving and in a particular way of handling death and handling the funeral, and it's really built within us, and we have great respect for the dead. Anybody and everybody, you know, has that number one, to honour the dead. And it feels like we're bereft of that, and we're not allowed to do that. So it's very much against the grain.
And the experience of the lockdown then, for you personally at home, what was that like?
That was strange too, because I'm here now, just outside the village of Spittal, and it's great to be able to walk in and meet people and so on. So that all had to stop. We were told, because of our age, that we have to stay in the house. Now, fortunately, we have a garden around us and open space and so on. So we wound up, both Sheila and myself, out in the garden. The weather was good, so that was a help. But the fact that you were bound down was a problem, all right, you know. Mm. It again, was unnatural. It was like being, I suppose, in jail, confined, whatever word you want to use.
Mm.
There's still some of it there, and I don't know how we'll get back to normality. But I did write quite a bit of music at the same time to keep myself busy and keep the mind busy. And from that point of view, it was good.
Mm. Well, you wrote two anyway, that I know of, because you sent them to me here on the Rolling Wave. Tell me about the tunes that you wrote for the programme.
Well, I was trying to think of something different in terms of type of tune that I'd write. And so I find that the 9/8 time, that's the jig, slip jig, is a lovely way of creating. There's a lovely beat to it, and it's enticing, that beat. It kind of welcomes you in and helps you to come up with notes. But with me, I just don't come up with notes. I kind of have a flow, and sometimes I'm following the flow, and I'm really worried that I forget the start of the flow or somewhere within it. But I did want to get a mood that would be not down that way, but you know, lowered and expressive of something that's happening around us. So that came up, and I was happy with that. But then, if you were looking for 5 minutes of stuff, I wanted something to follow it, and it took me a while to actually. I tried different rhythms, but and keys changed and so on. So I came up with the second one, but it took me a while to actually get into it. And when you mentioned it to me, I realised that the start of it is like another tune, which I wasn't aware of until you said it, but it's there. I did it, and I'm happy with it, and so it will go like that.
Oh, it's a great tune.
The real then is to give us joy and to bring us life into it, Sam, so to wake up and to go out there and dance and meet and celebrate. So we haven't done that yet as a nation, but so that was it. The slip cheek was where we were and where we're partly yet, and the real is something to come where we can actually let go and be ourselves.
And fittingly enough, it's called Rising Out of Lockdown. Thank you. Charlie Lennon's new tune, Rising Out of Lockdown, one of the pieces of music commissioned by the Rolling Wave for the Fuishiv project. For rights reasons, the music here has to be shortened. So if you'd like to hear the full versions of those tunes, you can listen in to the Rolling Wave on Sunday, November the 8th. Thanks a million for listening. Till the next time, Sláinte.